Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley.
And I'm her daughter, Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Heidi and I want to welcome you to Open to Hope Conversations, the podcast.
We believe that the greatest gift you can give yourself after a loss is hope, using this moment to connect with others who have not only survived, but thrived.
So let's get started. Welcome to the Open to Hope Show. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my daughter and co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Well, Heidi, we've got a good friend to Open to Hope, one of our Open to Hope writers who's going to be on our show today. And we're going to talk about widowed parents. It's going to be a great show.
It is. And this guest has done a lot in that space, and she's very well known throughout the country. So I'm really looking forward to having her on and introducing her. But before we do that, I know that your book has just come out.
Our book is Open to Love, The Secrets of Senior Dating. It was written by myself and a psychologist and my fiance, Dr. Frank Powers. And it's for all of you who've had a loss of a partner and are looking to be in a relationship. So you can find it at The Dating Doctors or at the Open to Hope Foundation. And again, all the proceeds are going to the foundation to help people find hope after loss. Well,
great.
Let's hear the show today about widowed parents.
Okay, we are going to be talking about widowed parents, and we are going to be talking with Jenny Lisk, who is herself a widow. She is also an Open to Hope writer, so we love that, and she has her own podcast. She's a podcaster, and she speaks all over the country. She is the founder of Widowed Parents Institute, and her latest book is called Widowed Parents Unite. Welcome to the show, Jenny.
Thank you so much, Heidi, and thank you, Gloria. It's so great to be back.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you on. Well, tell people a little bit about your husband and his death and how you got on this journey.
Sure. Yeah, my husband, Dennis, he had glioblastoma, which is a very aggressive kind of brain cancer. And it was 2015 that he first started feeling just a little bit dizzy, and it seemed like no big deal at first. Next thing you know, they're doing an MRI, he's doing surgery, they say it's brain cancer, and it's a very, very low survival rate. And 8 months later, he died, and I had a 9-year-old. Wow. And 11-year-old.
And how old was he when he died?
He was 44, and
wow,
I was 43.
That's a whirlwind story. I mean, I can only imagine you living through that whirlwind that blindsided you.
It did, really, you know, and it was 8 months, and I didn't know how long it would be. I just knew that it was going to end badly, and I knew that I would have to figure out now how to be a solo parent of these two kids, which is something that I had never, you know, signed up for, never expected, didn't have any, you know, I wasn't a grief expert or a child development expert or anything but a regular parent at that point. The most important part to keep in mind is anytime you have multiple kids in a family, you're going to have multiple grief experiences in the family. Even though they're all siblings, even though they lost the same person, their dad or their mom, I think, you know, depending on their ages, their genders, the gender of the parent that died, the relationship with the parent who died, all sorts of things. It's just, I think it's important for parents to understand that kids are going to be different, most likely, in the way they grieve.
What was the biggest challenge in suddenly being the solo parent?
You know, I didn't know what I didn't know, and I didn't know who could help me figure that out, right? Like, I found resources for myself. I found Camp Widow, for example, and Soaring Spirits. I didn't know about you guys at the time, but you guys do terrific work with grief and widows and grief of all types, including widows. I found books. I found a therapist for myself. I wasn't finding the answer of, like, how do you raise grieving kids? How does this not ruin their lives? How does this not, like, what am I supposed to do now? And I went to Amazon, right, and typed in, like, where's the book that's going to help me solve this problem? And I wasn't finding anything. I later learned that there are grief centers in many parts of the country. You know, many communities have kids and family grief programs. I'm now a member of the National Alliance for Children's Grief, which I know you guys are connected with as well. And their member centers do terrific work in lots of communities. But at the time, I didn't know about that. And I found this feeling kind of like I got dropped off a a cliff or something, right? Like I had been a parent who dealt with homework and sibling rivalry and potty training and, you know, all the things that parents typically deal with. And now all of a sudden it felt like a whole new world that I felt completely unprepared for.
So what did you do? What was your first step?
Well, I started reading every book I could find, and I started talking to my therapist, and I started thinking, you know, I've got to do something in this widowed parenting space. And what I actually did was I decided to start a podcast and to talk to people so I could both learn myself and share out what I was learning with everyone else. Because I realized that, you know, if I was having a discussion with someone, I could do it in this kind of format, right? And record it and share it. And because, you know, most people aren't going to take the time or, you know, whatever to like call up all these people themselves and have discussions. And those people aren't probably going to have one-on-one discussions, but in a podcast format, I decided that I could learn a tremendous amount. And actually, you know, I wanted to start this podcast. And I, at first I thought this, like, why should I host this podcast? At that point, I'm saying to myself, I'm not an expert on widow parents. Why does anybody want to listen to me? Right. And I realized I was looking at it backwards, that I was the right person to host it specifically because I was not trying to be the expert. I didn't need to pretend to be. I could stand in the place of my listeners behind the mic and have that discussion and ask questions on their behalf. Right. And that was why.
And I would think that, Jenny, you could be vulnerable at times and say, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do this. And I would think that would resonate with your listeners who were going through similar things.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've heard from so many people who have reached out and found the podcast in one way or another and said, you know, gosh, I'm learning so much from the experts. Well, it's part of it is experts, right? Mm-hmm. That's one type of people I talk to. And the other is seasoned widowed parents sharing their reflections, what they've learned, what they wish they had known or done. You know, maybe they're 5 years out or 25 years out, right? And they can share a lot. And then the other thing, which is really, I would encourage people to try to listen to or talk to people who are now grown up, but when they were a kid, they lost their parent. And, you know, they were 5 or 15 or whatever they were, right? And in hearing how it went for them, because here's the thing, like, okay, so I lost Dennis, my kids lost Dennis, but I lost a spouse and they lost a father. And so even though it's the same human being, one single person, it's a very different relationship. So I don't understand what it's like to lose a parent at 9 or 11, or even now, by the way, my parents are still alive. So that kind of thing has been incredibly valuable to me, and by extension then to my listeners. I always say this when I talk to somebody who, you know, like Hope Edelman, for example, who I know we all know, has been on the show, and she lost her mom at 17, I believe. And so, you know, for someone like that to share those reflections on what it's like helps then me understand what it's like to be a young person who's lost a parent, even if the experiences aren't exactly the same. It's incredibly useful as a parent, I think, to try to gain perspective on our kids' experiences.
Well, what is interesting is when, as adults, when we lose a family member, you know, you're kind of pretty stable. But with kids, they're going to go through all the developmental issues, whether or not they had a parent die.
Yes.
And it was interesting when my son Scott was killed, my pediatrician, David Broadman, and my kids know him well, came to me and he said, don't worry about Heather, who was 14 at the time. Her hormones are going to take her through her life and her developmental cycle is going to happen. And your kids will grow up and they will go through these stages. I mean, you can't, it's not like you can control your kids. I mean, when they're under 7, they don't understand permanence and impermanence. So there are things developmentally that will happen to them aside from the fact that they
And the tricky part about that is, which with your children, which part of this is because they lost their sibling, or in your case, Jenny, their father, and what things would they be doing typically anyway? It's hard to tease that out, right?
It's very hard, yes. And the other part, Gloria, that I think you were hitting on, which is so important, is understanding that as kids go through developmental milestones, they will re-grieve based on their new cognitive level of understanding. So like a 2-year-old or a 6-year-old doesn't understand as much as a 13 or 18-year-old would, right? And so this is a very interesting thing. And Gloria, you mentioned adults being stable, right? Adults have that fully formed brain already. So whatever level of understanding they have, they have their cognitive abilities. But kids have that massive puberty-related cognitive upgrade.
Right.
And so, you know, it's interesting. I interviewed somebody who, her husband had died when her kids were very small. I think they were like 3 and 3 months. And 10 years later, so the older one was 13. And, you know, so her kids were very small, that she was dealing with grief and trying to educate them, like, what does death even mean, right? Like, impermanence and everything you mentioned. 10 years later, her daughter wanted to go on they called it their dead dad trip. And they went to the places that had been meaningful to him, like where he'd gone to college and is where he'd grown up and, you know, things like that. So they took this trip together. And the daughter, who was 13, had this whole new level of understanding of her grief. And the mother said it was almost like it was fresh loss for her. Whereas for the mother, it was a 10-year-old loss. And yes, she still missed her husband. And yet, right, but she had had 10 years of processing since then. And for the daughter, it was all new all over again. And I think that as a parent, this is something that previously, it's not intuitively obvious, right? If you're not a child development specialist or something, you don't think too much about, I don't know, child cognitive, whatever. Like, it doesn't necessarily occur to you, I think, that they're going to keep re-grieving to new levels of understanding through the years. And a parent might need to be prepared to, you know, first of all, understand that, recognize that, and help them through it, and listen and be supportive for many years beyond what you might think.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have to say that I do think one of the primary things is that you can give your grieving kids as a happy parent, or as a parent that's coping.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have heard that as well, that the parent actually plays such a key role in their adjustment and coping abilities, which is one of the reasons why, you know, the grief centers that have programs for kids, some of them also have programs for parents, is very important. And it's one of the reasons really why I wrote this latest book together with 48 other people, but to help parents in this role, this new role of, like, if we can help the parents, they're the ones in that day in and day out position of helping their own kids. So it's like, yes, they should go to the grief program, but that might be once a month or twice a month, right? And it's that parent who's there day in and day out raising them who needs support too in supporting their own children.
Do you ever get concerned about a single parent whose whole life is their children and making sure they're grieving right?
You know, it's tough, because if the kid is struggling to the point of, you know, potentially even being suicidal or something, right? Like, then obviously more of the parent's attention is going to be focused on that. So it's obviously context dependent. But I think your larger point that the kids seeing an example of the parent modeling, you know, I'm grieving and I'm coping. I think it is important that the parents set an example of coping and grieving, coping and parenting, you know, figuring out what their own next steps look like, whatever, you know, and that might be new relationships. It might not be. It might be new work. It might not be. It might be finding new purpose. It might be all kinds of things. But figuring out, like one of the things that was important to me was, like, you know, my husband died at 44. And so he got maybe half of a life. I don't know if it's half, but let's just say what you might expect, right? And I didn't kind of want to, like, half-heartedly live out the rest of my life. I was 43, and I just felt like it would be doubly tragic if I just said, all right, well, he's dead, so now I'm going to sort of exist for the next 50 years, and then that's it. Right. And so that was something that, you know, and that was reading, therapy, walking and thinking, right, that got me to that point of, like, you know, yes, if I had a magic wand and could erase, I don't have a magic wand to erase the fact that he died. So now what is next for me? And I both have to figure that out and get to figure that out.
I like that. your latest book is called Widowed Parents Unite.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you call it that?
Okay. It's called Widowed Parents Unite, 52 Tips to Get Through the First Year from One Widowed Parent to Another is the subtitle. And I really wanted it to be this message of you are not alone. Like, I hear from so many widowed parents who feel like they must be the only person who's widowed and has a 2-year-old or a 12-year-old or whatever, right? And because they're probably the only person in their, you know, school community or neighborhood community that is widowed with young kids or teens. And the fact is, there are a lot of us out there. You know that, I'm sure. You talk to a lot of people. And I see that now too, right? Now that I've gotten into this world and talked to so many people. But people feel that way before they kind of encounter this grief world. And I really wanted to take the collective wisdom of seasoned widowed parents and say, you know, what would you say to, now that you're however far out you are, to a newer widowed parent, especially in that first year after loss? Like, what would be the number one thing you'd say to them? And structure it as a collection of advice. Like, I already wrote one book, right, which is me, and I didn't want this book to be only me. I wanted it to have a variety of perspectives based on the circumstances of loss, based on the ages of the kids, based on different locations, including outside the U.S., based on all sorts of things that might make people's loss experience vary. I wanted to be able to pull it all together and ultimately send the message to the reader, like, you're not alone. And here you can meet 48 other people who are helping you see that. And then at the end, actually, it goes into like, all right, now that you've hopefully starting to feel like you're not alone, are there some steps you could take to actually move from feeling less alone to actually being a little less alone? And mm-hmm. some suggestions at the end, including lots of resources for trying to make that happen as well.
So give us a couple of your favorite tips mm-hmm. that you got.
There are so many. One that is very relevant. There's a woman who happens to live here in Seattle. I didn't know her before this. Kelly Chavez, her husband had been a stay-at-home father, and he had done like all this stuff with the kids, and like I think went over the top with like Christmas decorating and things. And when she was, you know, working full time. And then when her husband died, she was completely overwhelmed with like feeling like she had to keep up his level of activity in the home and keep up her full time job, and she couldn't do it all. And she realized that one of the things she needed to do is talk to her kids and find out what was really important to them. And so, for example, mm-hmm. when the first Christmas came around, he had gone over the top with decorating and cookies and all the things. And she sat down and talked to them and figured out that cookies, decorating cookies, was really important to them, but the baking wasn't important. And so she could buy the pre-made cookies and the pre-made icing, and then they could do decorating. And so I think the power of this example is she had been assuming like, oh my God, my husband did all the baking from scratch and I got to do this or the kids' Christmas is going to be ruined. And by actually opening those communication channels and finding out what was important to them, they were able to keep the meaning of the tradition without like knocking herself out with all this extra work. And I think you could apply that in a lot of contexts. And then another one, Will Owens, he's a widowed dad in North Carolina. His son was kind of 10 or 9 or 10 when his wife died. His big tip was to get yourself on the text thread of the moms of your kids' best friends, because he was an attorney and his wife had done most of the school stuff and sports stuff and kids stuff. And he was like out of the loop, and he didn't know when the soccer signups were, and he didn't know when teacher appreciation week was, and like all the things. And he's like, get yourself on the text thread of the moms of your kids' best friends, and they will let you know, like, you got to bring your permission slip tomorrow for the field trip and don't miss the summer camp signups. You know, it's February or whatever, but if you don't sign up now, you're going to be out of luck for camp. And so there's a range of practical things like that. And all just all sorts of them with 48 people, you can imagine how many different voices there are. But it was important to me, especially to make sure we had dads represented in here, because, you know, parents, moms and dads are all parents, and there are differences, and there are so many similarities too, and there are so many things that we can learn from each other. And I hear from people that there just are not enough resources for the men and for the dads. And I really wanted, with the podcast and with this book, to make sure that it's broadly supportive and not focused exclusively on the women.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's great. Well, give us a piece of advice from you about, if I've had a loss of a spouse this year, what's your advice?
You know, and this is something I actually end the book with. I like to say that grief support is like swimming lessons. Now you're thinking, like, what is she talking about, right? Swimming lessons are not something, you know, we sign our kids up proactively. We don't say, let's wait until you're drowning. And then let's say, oh, maybe we should give you some swimming lessons, right? We sign them up proactively and we give them swimming skills so they can be safer on water. So similarly, I think one of the things parents struggle with if, you know, their kids have lost their parent and they say, I don't know, should my kid go to one of the grief centers? They have some programs monthly, whatever. Like, how do I know if my kid, quote unquote, needs to go to that? And my point of view is that you don't need to wait until they're at some threshold of struggling. Like, if my kid is struggling this much, they won't go. But if they're struggling this much, if they hit that threshold, well, now they'll go, right? Like swimming, you're not going to wait until they're drowning. Okay, well, now we'll give you swimming lessons. Mm-hmm. And I think that if a kid has lost a parent, it's safe to assume that you should check out grief support, learn about it, find out if it might be right for your kid. It's not going to be right for every kid, but it's worth considering for every kid who has lost a parent, because it is a unique and unusual and difficult experience, and most of the kids at school and on their soccer teams are not going to have the same experience, and the chance to be in an environment with other kids who have had a loss of a parent or a sibling in those groups, I think can be incredibly supportive and helpful, and help them learn some coping and adjusting skills that will then serve them well through their lifetime too, because they will lose more people later, sadly. You know, close to them as well as acquaintances and stuff. And so I think that if you think about grief support being like swimming lessons and say, my kids had a loss, let me sign them up and try it, I think it's definitely worth considering.
Wow. Well, thank you. And what great mm-hmm. advice you've got. And good luck with your podcast and everything. How do people find you and find your book?
Yes, well, thank you. At widowedparentinstitute.com, you can, from there, you can get the podcast, the books. The book is available everywhere. Books are sold. Widowed Parents Unite, as well as my memoir, Future Widow. So you can find that anywhere. But I do have some terrific resources at widowedparentinstitute.com, both for new widowed parents and also for grief allies who are trying to be supportive of grieving people. Some great resources I encourage people to check out there as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you. It's great to see you guys again. And I love what you guys are doing. Good luck with your podcast. And Gloria, congratulations on your new book. That's so exciting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. And thank you for all the resources that you provide out there for parents that are going through what you've gone through. I think it is so invaluable and really incredible. And I love how you've gotten all these new voices together and you're all, you know, uniting as widows and widowers. And thank you also for being a writer for the Open to Hope Foundation. We appreciate it. And for helping everybody find hope after loss.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Heidi. And thank you, Gloria. It's good to see you today.
Thank you for joining us on the show today. And we want to thank everybody for joining us on the show. And Heidi and I always want to remind you that if you've lost hope, please lean on ours until you find your own, and God bless.
I'm Dr. Heidi Horsley. You have been listening to Open to Hope, the podcast. You can follow Open to Hope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. To learn more, visit us at opentohope.com and go to Apple Podcasts to subscribe.
I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley. Join us again next week for another Open to Hope conversation, where we invite you to lean on our hope until you find your own.